And I'll start out with a little bit of a rant, and this is where this came from. You know, so I've gotten calls, as many of you probably have, from financial advisors or accountants or someone who's advising the client. And we get the call saying they need an ILIT or they need a this type of trust and they need a that type of trust. Can you put one together? As if it's, you know, the off the shelf. Yes, the ILIT. I know that trust. As if the terms are all static and they're commodities. I told the person, you know, there's no way I can draft that. Obviously, you need to have, you know, conversation with the client about terms, assets, trustees. What's the purpose for it? What's the situation? So obviously it's customized for what it's for, but also building in flexibility and all the things that we don't know. You know, these trusts could last decades. They could last hundreds of years in theory. I don't know if they really would, even though we can do these perpetual trusts and thousand-year trusts and so forth. But building in flexibility is the most important thing, because we don't need them to last 50 years before the client wants to make changes, someone wants to make changes, or there's an issue that comes up. You can go 5 years, you can go 2 years, and we already need to make adjustments, or, you know, how did that person get in as my trustee? I don't like that person. So it's inevitable things are going to change. But the thing I want to convey to, you know, anyone on the call that's not practicing attorney doing these trusts is these are not commodities. And similarly, and we'll talk about this later on the panel, lately the only call I get every day is, you know, can you do a SLAT for this client? You know, spousal limited access trust. And again, same thing, you know, is that the right thing for the client? What are their other trusts? Are there reciprocal trusts? Because what I hate to do is have the advisor, whoever talked to the client, have to backpedal, you know, based on our advice or based on our conversation, what may have been promised to the client. Oh, you can do this and it's great. And your spouse has access and you get the money back. Suddenly that's not the case for one reason or another, or it's not a recommendation for one reason or another. And so, I guess my point is don't overpromise, you know, but before the attorney that's legally the one who's got to give the advice, legally the one who's drafting the document and who the client is ultimately, who's ultimately accountable for the trust, gets on board and gets on the team. So my suggestion is have the conversation with that person, with the attorney first, then as a team come back to the client with, here's what we suggest. You know, I know attorneys are happy to share the glory and say that this person suggested it. So having said that, you know, getting into drafting for flexibility, to me, first and foremost, more than anything else in the trust document, flexible trustee terms. So we've all drafted or seen trusts that say Uncle Joe is the trustee, and if he can't serve, Aunt Bess will be the trustee, and if she can't serve, then a majority of the income beneficiaries will pick a new trustee. Or in many trusts I've seen, the estate planning practice at so-and-so law firm will pick the trustee. Well, number one, firms change. Two, people switch law firms. So I've never put something like that in. And you don't know who's going to be there anyway. Number three, the whole concept of, you know, the income beneficiaries will choose. Well, who are the income beneficiaries? So if it's a trust for the children and grandchildren, let's say it's a pot trust for all of them, it hasn't split yet. The income beneficiaries are the children and the grandchildren. So let's see, three children, eight grandchildren, the children are 60s, the grandchildren are in their 20s and 30s. Who's going to win that vote? Who's going to be picking? The grandchildren are going to have a majority vote if they wanted to gang up and outvote the parents. So I'm not in favor of things like that. And also, whatever list of trustees your client puts in, they will call you 3 years later, 5 years later, 20 years later, whatever it is. And suddenly they want to change that list. And so my system my trusts, the structure, we build in, I think the most important thing is who can appoint trustees and who can remove trustees. And so we have a list. We call it, and you'll see in your materials, this hierarchy list as we refer to it in our documents. So the grantor can appoint and remove trustees, obviously subject to the usual limitations. Removal and replacement can't be a later subordinate. The grantor's spouse, the primary beneficiary of one of the sub-trusts. So when it breaks up and goes into the trust for the kids, that child, if they're age, say, 35, can appoint trustees. If that child is incapacitated, his or her children, who are, say, 35, can appoint trustees. So having this list, but also building in flexibility in that list so that the... I'm sorry. This is not happening.